Harihi Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay. Okay, footnote 8. Vidura asks, O Uddhava, please tell me, how is Prajumna, the commander-in-chief of the Yadus, who was Cupid in a former life? Rukmini bore him as her son from Lord Krishna, by the grace of Brahmanas, who she pleased. Srila Prabhupada in his purport to verse 28 refers to the Sandarbha commentary which follows. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, Smara, Cupid or Kamadev, is one of the eternal associates of Lord Krishna. Jiva Goswami has explained this very elaborately in his treatise, Krishna Sandarbha, establishing the exalted credentials of Krishna's family members. Anucheda 87. Now we shall describe Prajumna, who in his previous life was Cupid, as Cupid was burned to ashes by the anger of Lord Shiva. This Prajumna is described in the following verse from the Gopaltapani Upanishad 2.40. Lord Krishna, accompanied by his three potencies, and by Balaram, Prajumna, and Ariruda, and Rukmini, stays in delight, in delightful Mathurapuri. This Prajumna, however, cannot be considered to be the same Prajumna who is one of the four original expansions of Lord Krishna, Vasudev, Sankarsha, Prajumna, and Ariruda. This Prajumna is simply the demigod Cupid, who is an ordinary living entity and not the personality Godhead. This is described in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.55.1. It is said that Cupid, who is directly part and parcel of Lord Vasudeva, was formerly burned to ashes by the anger of Lord Shiva. In order to get his body again, he took birth as the son of Krishna. The word tu, but, is very significant in this verse. This word is used to specifically distinguish a certain person or thing from another or others. For example, if we say, but he is a Brahmin, a certain person is distinguished from others. As for example, if we say, there may be many who, although born in a Brahmin family, remain ignorant and uneducated, but he is a Brahmana. The word but distinguishes the learned Brahmin from others who are less qualified. In this verse, the phrase, kamastu vasudevam sa, but that Cupid who is directly part and parcel Lord Vasudeva, indicates that there are two Cupids, and one of them is directly part and parcel of Lord Vasudeva. If it were otherwise, and the intention of the author had been to say, but Cupid is directly part and parcel of Lord Vasudeva, the order of the words in Sanskrit would have been Vasudevam Shash Tu Kama. The other Cupid, who is not directly part and parcel of Lord Vasudeva, is described in the second part of this verse. He is the material Cupid, an ordinary demigod, one of the 11 Rudras, and a servant of Maharaj Indra. Burned by Lord Shiva's anger, this material Cupid lost his body and became disembodied. In order to get his body again, he entered the body of Lord Prajumna, the original Cupid, who is directly part and parcel of Lord Vasudeva. The material Cupid was then born again from the body of Lord Prajumna. Interpreted in this way, the verse of Srimad Bhagavatam may be translated in the following words. It is said that Cupid was formerly burned to ashes by the anger of Lord Shiva. In order to get his body again, he entered the body of Lord Prajumna, the original Cupid, who is a direct expansion of Lord Vasudeva. Another explanation of this verse may be given by dividing the first two lines in the following way. Kamastu Vasudevamsho Dagdha Prag Rudra Manyuna. By accepting the word Adagdha to replace Dagdha, we may translate this verse in this way. The original Cupid, who is directly part and parcel of Lord Vasudeva and different from the material Cupid, was not burned to ashes by the anger of Lord Shiva. This original Cupid entered the body of Lord Vasudeva to appear with him as he manifests his transcendental pastimes within the material world. In this way, we have described the original Cupid, Lord Prajumna, who, because he is directly the expansion of Lord Vasudeva, must be different from the material Cupid, who was burned to ashes by the anger of Lord Shiva. So then in this Anucheda, then he's establishing that there's two different Prajumnas. Right, so the one that's burned to ashes is the material one, because you're not going to burn to ashes, the spiritual one. Generally, you see the Lord has other ways to perform his pastimes than getting burned to ashes. Right? Like that. But that demigod, because he's a potency, then he merges back into Prajumna, the original Prajumna. And then, when the opportunity is there, then again he appears in it, with the body. Is that what I said? Yes.
When he merges into the original
Means the point is that one is a potency of the Lord. So that means that Jiva that has that potency, he would have merged back into Prajumna. See, the potency is from Prajumna, but there's a Jiva connected with that potency. So it doesn't say it changed Jivas. Does that make sense?
It's not a post.
It's a post. It's a post. It may be in this, it doesn't, here it's not getting into that detail. It's only getting into the detail that being a post, there's a Jiva who's empowered. So now whether that's, so whether it's the Jiva moved on to wherever else he went and the potency went back to Prajumna, or the potency and that Jiva went back to Prajumna and then appeared again. But because he's saying he lost the body and then got it again, you get the idea that it's the same Jiva. But whether it is or not is a secondary point, like that. Yes.
Krishna Sampradyumna is the original one.
No, that's this one, huh?
I got the older.
No, this is that one.
That was burned with ashes.
Yes, he got his body again.
He's a devotee. He's a devotee.
Yes. Like that. Anucheda 88. This distinction between the material and spiritual Cupids is confirmed by the following verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.55.2, which describes the appearance of the material Cupid. Cupid was born as the son of Lord Krishna in the womb of the Rukmini Devi, and he became celebrated by the name Prajumna. Because he was begotten by Lord Krishna directly, his qualities were most similar to those of Krishna. This verse describes the Vishnu Tattva Lord Prajumna, the direct expansion of Lord Krishna who took birth of the womb of Rukmini. Now this is a little different. That this verse describes the Vishnu Tattva Prajumna, not the material demigod, may be inferred by the phrase Sarvato Navama Pitu. His qualities were most similar to those of his father Krishna. So then that would mean that in here is the demigod that became burnt to ashes by Lord Shiva, that means that this potency then goes back into the original Prajumna, and then when Rukmini is there, that potency is manifest again. Right? But this is Vishnu Tattva. Slightly.
Slightly opposite.
Yes.
Is there something off with the translation here? Because at the bottom of page 14 it said, this verse describes the appearance of material Cupid. And then the verse is given and the explanation says, it's originally something Cupid.
Yes, so there must be something there that is trying to be connected. So exactly what's being done, something has been missed. But in any case, the point is that there are two Cupids, the original and the demigod. Now, exactly if the son of Krishna is the demigod or if the son of Krishna is the original Prajumna, that then is another point to be found out later.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so now we continue with where we were on page 13, the last half of the last sentence.
Of course.
Okay. Yes, I guess we could start at the beginning of the sentence. That just makes sense. Next, he asks of the Lord's associates in Dwarka, Vasudeva, Prajumna, Ugrasena, Samba, Yuyudhana, Akrura, Devaki, Aniruddha, the other Yadavas, the Pandavas, and Kunti Devi, 25 to 40. Vidura already knew that the Yadus were no longer in this world, but due to shock of having heard this news at Prabhash, he wanted to hear about it once more from Uddhava. Srila Prabhupada confirms this in his purport to verse 25, that the inquiry was from the emotional platform. This inquiry appears to be very queer, but Srila Jiva Goswami states that the news was shocking to Vidura, who therefore acquired again just due to great curiosity. Thus, his inquiry was psychological and not practical. Srila Jiva Goswami pronounces this in his Krama Sandarbha commentary. His words are Shokavesha Svabhavo Yam. This is the nature of being absorbed in lamentation. This section of verses 25 to 40 relates many aspects of culture surrounding the affection Vidura had for his family members, his brother-in-law, sister, nephews. This affection for the family members, who are not ordinary persons, is not illusory because it connected Vidura to Krishna. Right, so he is contemplating this because they're all connected to the Lord, so he's just inquiring about the devotees. But then the pastime is winding up, so then they've all moved on. The pastime has moved on. While he's still here. Same with the pastime moved on. Uddhava is still here. Right? So then by that, we can have this conversation, we get the benefit. Right? So that's the whole idea, is that either they go with Krishna or they stay behind to continue the benefits of the Lord's pastimes. So in any case, it works out. So we get the benefit, because if they had also gone, then we wouldn't have this conversation. Right? Yeah. Vidura continued, O gentle one, I simply meant for he, Dhritarashtra, who rebelled against his brother after death. By him I was driven out of my own house, although I am his sincere well-wisher, because he accepted the line of action adopted by his own sons. I am not astonished at this, having traveled over the world without being seen by others. Right? So, means he's lamenting, the lamentation is not of any loss or this or that, but it's for Dhritarashtra, because Dhritarashtra is the one who's going to suffer. He's not suffering. He's going out, he's free, he's moving to the holy places of pilgrimage. But Dhritarashtra, now he'll have a problem because he's accepted the path of his sons. Right? He was trained otherwise, but somehow or another he accepted the path of his sons. Right? Yes?
Here we say first that
Out of curiosity, I suppose, psychological questions. Yes. So he was feeling separation from his family members. Yes. Now here he's saying that he's not lamenting because he lamented, he lost his family members, but he's lamenting for Dhritarashtra. No, there's two different things. This means that one is that he's not lamenting the other, it's about the
because it's not material lamentation, because all these personal realities are spiritual. Right? So you have that. Here is that then he's thinking about Dhritarashtra, is that he's free, he's Krishna conscious, but Dhritarashtra, because of his material attachment, because he turned against his brother after his death, like that, then all these different things happen. So what he's saying is another aspect, that he was driven out of the house, out of that situation. He's not lamenting for that. He's lamenting that Dhritarashtra, he's still stuck in this mundane consciousness. And then because of this, now he's lost everything. Because the real thing is his attachment to his son, then he lost all his sons. So the recommendation is just get rid of this one son, and you'll have 99. But because he didn't, he lost all of them, plus everybody else connected. So Bhishma, Drona, everybody is all gone. Right? All their allies, everything. Right? So basically he's ending up with nothing. All he has left is Yudhishthira. And that was the whole thing, that there's always that idea that why would Yudhishthira take care? Just as Dhritarashtra doesn't care as much for them as for his own son, so why would Yudhishthira care for him? Right? But then he finds out that it's the opposite. Yudhishthira actually is dutiful and takes care. The only reason that their whole pastime went so nicely, you know, Dhritarashtra's plans, is because of Yudhishthira's respect for him. Otherwise, if he was acting on the political platform, they wouldn't have trusted him one second at any point. So they wouldn't have gone to the gambling match, they wouldn't have gone to Varnavata, they wouldn't have done any of that, because why should he care for them? Right? So Dhritarashtra, we see, miscalculated here. So all he has left is, you know, Yudhishthira. And that's not the tough part. The tough part is Bhima. Right? Because Bhima is the one that did kill every last one of his sons. All 100. Like that. Yeah. Yeah, and he knows, he's not astonished at this because he's traveled over all the world, unseen by others. That means he can go, see, observe, and he can see the material world, what its nature is. So he's not surprised how they're going, you know? Or you could also take it as that he's unseen because they can't find him because they don't care, you know? So in any case, the point is, it's not astonishing that somebody acts materially. You know, sometimes we're so shocked that something happens. Someone gets materially distracted. We're so shocked. How can this happen? We're in the material world. Of course these things happen. You know, the spiritual world, these don't happen. So therefore, no one gets shocked there from this. Right? Yeah, I guess it's one way to do it, but, you know, so many others followed their vows also, but, you know, if Bhima is specifically appreciated, why not? But I wouldn't say that that's the general rule. You know, the gopis, you know, did their Katyayani vrata, so that they finished their vows. You know, I mean, so many, you know what I'm saying, so many people perform their vows. Was it Maharaj, who was that one? Is it Maharaj Sibi? No, that was a different one. It was Ambarish, right? He did his vow. He had a 41-day fasting. There's so many who follow their vows. But, you know, if Bhima's particularly attractive, why not? You understand? Don't make it that you start telling everybody, no, this is what you have to do. Yeah. What, you have 100 people you have a problem with or something? Okay. You thought, therefore, Bhima would be appropriate, you know. Okay. The activities of the personality of Godhead, which are like those of a man in this mortal world, are bewildering to others, but I know his greatness by his grace, and thus I am happy in all respects. 41 and 42. Vidura did not inquire from Uddhava about Dhritarashtra's welfare, for he knew that there could only be news of his gliding down towards hell. Right? You know, see, no need to ask about the bad stuff. You only ask about the good stuff. Right? Despite this lack of questioning, Vidura always kept his brother in the corner of his heart and acted for his welfare. Srila Prabhupada distinguishes between the brothers Vidura and Dhritarashtra as follows in his purport to verse 42. Although he was the brother of Dhritarashtra, Vidura was completely different. By the grace of Lord Krishna, he was not foolish like his brother, and thus his brother's association could not influence him. Dhritarashtra and his materialistic sons wanted to falsely lord it over the world by dint of their own strength.
The Lord encouraged them in this, and thus they became more and more bewildered. But Vidura wanted to achieve sincere devotional service to the Lord, and therefore become a soul absolutely surrendered to the absolute personality of Godhead. He could realize this in the progress of his pilgrim's journey, and thus he was free from all doubts. He was not at all sorry to be bereft of his hearth and home, because he now had experienced that dependence on the mercy of the Lord is a greater freedom than so-called freedom at home. Yeah. So the Dhritarashtra means Dhritarashtra's sons, they thought that by their own power they could be the lords of the planet. But factually it's only anything can only be accomplished by the grace of the Lord. So it's basically by the grace of the Lord one can do that. So that's why they were unqualified. Not that they didn't have the material knowledge, they didn't have the physical strength to actually function as kings, but they didn't have the piety coming from devotional service to act on that platform. Because the point is, as you see, those who are emperors of the world, generally they're all devotees. Like that. Somebody may have great piety, but you don't necessarily hear much about them. So the element is that devotion to the Lord, that's what's going to make it worthwhile. So when you have the Pandavas who have that devotion, then it stands out that the others are simply by their own strength. Right? One could say, well, what about other emperors of the world who happen to be not devotees? But then the point is they were performing it because it's their duty. Right? It was their position, it was their duty, they were performing their duty, so therefore they were emperor of the world. But the Dhritarashtras, they're not thinking it's our duty, it's just what they want. Because if you're talking duty, Yudhishthira should be king. And then they should support him. Right? So then if you have the Pandavas there and the Dhritarashtras, then between 105 people, they're going to keep very good order on the planet. Be very powerful, especially because you also have Bhishma and Drona. So who's going to make any trouble? Right? Like we see Pandu, because there had been a gap between when he came to the throne and when his father had died, then so many kings started to, you know, want to become bigger than they needed to be and start harassing weaker kings around them and start creating trouble. So then Pandu came in and then got rid of those kings. So the first ones he just went and battled with and killed. And then after that, word got around, and so then everyone just surrendered. Right? But that was the whole point, is that the whole point was that then they established that you have to act in Dharma. It's not about you would like to take over the world. That's not the point. The point is you have your kingdom, run your kingdom nicely, don't bother the next king. Right? There's no reason. Right? So that was the whole point of the emperor of the world. Then wasn't that he's controlling everything. He's seeing that all the other controllers are doing it correctly. That's his business. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. So that's the... So in this way, they weren't qualified because they were just like these upstart kings. They just want. It's not that it's their duty. Yes.
Is it often that we see that those who just want, they somehow convince themselves that it is their duty?
You can have that also. But they were convincing themselves by Shastric evidence from platform of Niti.
Yes, exactly.
And so then you can do that. But Dharma was never their position for authority. But they'll use Dharma with those who are Dharmic. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Means it's efficient to quote Dharma to get what you want done in Niti. Yeah. Like that. But it's not that they care about Dharma. You know, it's just like we were saying, the theistic moralist, they will talk about theism because it supports their moralism. But if it doesn't, then that's something for discussion. You know, like, oh, we need to change Prabhupada's books. Because it doesn't support their concept of mundane morality. Right?
Does that make sense? And so then you use all these fancy terms like preaching and this and try to make it seem like it's something spiritual. So you quote religious or spiritual terminologies, but it's simply to support the mundane perspective. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So like that, you get so many things that come up. Is that so? That's the thing about theistic moralism. You can use it for karma, use it for jnana, or use it for bhakti. So we've been given using it for bhakti. Right? But others, because they can't tell the difference, because it's within that category, theistic moralism, then they can see it that it supports their moralism.
And it looks good.
It looks good. It sounds good, because it on the mundane platform, then it seems to fit in. But what they don't understand is it's not spiritual.
It's almost impossible to deal with.
Yes, so therefore you don't deal with them, because there's only a handful of them. Because the common devotee is innocent, so whatever they hear, so they really don't care. You know what I'm saying? It's not that they have an opinion. Only these individuals have an opinion. Therefore, don't even bother with them. Why waste your time? You know, you can benefit more people by discussing pure devotion than by trying to, you know what I'm saying? If the question comes up in a class, you deal with it. But if not, you don't bother. Okay, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Vidura said, he, Dhritarashtra, committed violence against his dead brother by violence against his brother's sons, the Pandavas. He committed violence against me, his living brother, by driving me out of the palace, though I was his well-wisher. But his violence towards me did not harm me. Rather, it was beneficial for me. By the Lord's mercy, I have seen the feet of the Lord who hides from the intellectual faculties of materialistic men by cheating such persons as Dhritarashtra. We have to remember, because we tend to take Dhritarashtra as this kind of like grumpy old materialist. But he was super, super intelligent, super, super qualified in the Shastras. You see, many times in the Mahabharata, where someone comes and asks him, so what should be done according to Shastra? He'll tell you exactly. And then he'll do the opposite because of his attachment to the son. But he'll tell you exactly what the Shastra says. But he can't say. So that's the whole point, is just because you have a brain doesn't mean you'll understand the Lord. And that's the thing is being quoted, what we were saying before, is this theistic moralism is working with, we're intelligent persons, we're educated persons. We have to make the educated persons of the world satisfied with our philosophy. That's an impossibility. That's an impossibility. Because that's the whole point, is that they're materialists. Therefore, they'll never be satisfied. You can't satisfy them. So that means, by the previous point that we were discussing, there's faith in the material world, faith in material civilization. But it's not even human civilization. It's tribal civilization. And then we're saying that this is what's going to make everything wonderful.
This is what we're trying to get away from.
Yeah, but this is exactly, yes, what we're trying to get away from, because that's what we've grown up with. That's what didn't satisfy it. If it was so good, why did we take up Krishna consciousness? Just life was so good and we just wanted to make it better, so then we added the philosophy of Krishna consciousness? No. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And there's a good chance when one joined, one wasn't a jigyasu or a jnani. One was an arta or an artarti. And then by cultivating Krishna consciousness, you develop a brain and you can think, and now we're the big jnani or a jigyasu. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the difficulty. Yes?
How do we know if our attachments
are... I was just thinking, it's not 100, it's only 99, but can I still pray to be better? Yeah, okay. Yes. How do we know our attachments are blocking our knowledge of Krishna? It means what kind of symptoms are you looking for?
Well, I don't know. I just, because you said that it was his attachment.
attachments to his son. So what if I have attachments to my son? Is that going to stop me from moving forward in Krishna consciousness?
The point is what's the purpose of the attachment to the son? Okay, good guess.
But yeah, I may also hold him back from with you know, love and affection or you know, company or you know, that's
okay. No, it just says you're mixing a few things here.
Okay.
Means you think you guess that's what it is. So then if that's what you guess it is, then what platform are you working from? Now, if you guess something, you know, what color is, I guess it's blue, but what color are you functioning with? So if you're guessing that it's, you know, don't become a mother, father, you know, demigod, teacher, you know, king, unless you can save your dependent from death. So if you guess that maybe that's right, then what is the platform that you're actually functioning from with your son, if that's only a guess? You understand? So then it will be attachment. But the point is working for someone's benefit doesn't mean that the cultural elements aren't there. You understand? It's because of our how do you say? Conditioning. In karma and gyan, we think is, okay, if I'm getting benefit from this, I put in my full effort. If I'm not getting benefit from this, I don't put in any effort. Therefore, the question comes up, well, what about the affection and the interaction and all that? The concept that we would be dropping that comes from the platform of gyan. So it's not about, you know, if having a child is not about my happiness due to, you know, being able to express material affection, then I'm not going to express any affection at all. So that's karma and gyan. But the point is no, it's the duty of the parent to express all those things so that they grow up nicely. Right? The child becomes confident in that when the care and that of the parent is there. But that's part of the duty. So that's the thing is that is not understood, what dharma actually is. We have this idea is that duty means something I really don't want to do, but I have to do it, so I do it grudgingly. You know, like go to work or, you know, stuff like that. But dharma is something uplifting. It's what people, you know, means every year, you know, in some place in the world, in some country, they're having some kind of nationalistic thing where people are coming together and remembering how they fought for the country and like this and that. And there's that sense of duty. And there, no one thinks of it as a burden. They think it as something very great and special and very honorable. And they were happy to have been able to take part and all that. You know, I say, yeah, who wouldn't want to associate with the mud in the trenches in France?
Yes.
You know, it's yeah. France. Come yeah. on.
I should feel honorable that my son will be going in attachment.
Whatever, however you want to put it all together. But the point is that this concept, this is why from the Western mentality, Varnashram is difficult, not because, oh, it's something so simple and, you know, we're not into that. It's something so elevated and so far beyond the cultural experience and concepts of the Western culture that they can't relate to it. You know, it's like a third grader and quantum physics. They can't relate to it. So that way, yes, you could say it's impractical. But not because I'm a devotee, I'm above it. It's because I'm a Malecha and Yavana, I'm so far below it, I can't even see it with binoculars.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? That's the reality. So that's why it's recommended here. You see these persons are following that. And so Vidura, even though it's not ideal for him, is staying there out of his duty and affection for his brother and that he can elevate him and do the right thing, because if he can do the right thing, seeing that he is the prime minister, then the country will run nice. The country running nice, people can be God conscious. Even though for him, it's bad association.
Right? Here you have Dharmaraj hanging out with a blind guy that's attached to his sons. You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's like, you know, it's like the world champion, you know, how you say, runner hanging out with a paraplegic, you know, or something, you know. Or even a quadriplegic, you know.
How did he get so knowledgeable? He obviously heard it.
Who's he?
He didn't need his eyes.
Yeah, Gurukul means you hear. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could sit in this class with your eyes closed and get some benefit. You know what I'm saying? Seeing simply helps you focus. But if you can't see, then, you know, if there's sound, you focus on it. Like that.
Thank you.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Just, you know, you become better at sound. So. Yeah? Okay. The Lord, affectionate to his devotee, is astonishing in this way. Right? It means that he lost everything, but he actually was in a better position. Right? You know, it's like I think it's a Buddhist saying that's talking about the monk. You know, in its original form, when they didn't have temples and everything, they just wandered the earth. Is that you know, the earth is his bed, the sky is his blanket. You know, so things like that, they have these kind of terms. It's just, everything's his. You know, he's given up everything, so everything's yours. And as soon as you say, this is mine, then you only have a little bit. You know, like that. Free from doubt, I wander to all the holy places, unrecognized by others, since I do not reveal this secret about the Lord to anyone. Right, because otherwise, if he starts talking, people figure out he's advanced, so then everyone will talk and then wonder who he is. So he just wanders around and like an avidhut, and nobody takes any notice. The Lord revealing himself to Vidura, who was drowning in an ocean of grief when he was driven out of the palace by Duryodhana, spoke to him, "O Vidura, my greatest devotee, are you lamenting because of separation from me? Having given my promise to you now, you will see me wherever you travel, since I will go there before you." Right? Because you go to the place of pilgrimage, Krishna's already there. So he says, "I'll be there before you get there." You know. Yeah. This is the blessing of the Lord. Even after the death of Duryodhana, when Yudhishthira gains the kingdom, Vidura was without effort able to see the Lord with great bliss. Whereas for others, great effort was needed to see the Lord. However, with the Lord's final disappearance, he would be withdrawn from the vision of Vidura. Therefore, until he met Uddhava, he was again disturbed because he could not see the Lord. So you get this element, he can see there, but at the same time as you're seeing because the Lord is there. Right? Because these are associates. You know, you see something, so this is Udipan. You see something connected to the Lord, you remember the Lord. So you see the deity of the Lord, you remember the personality. Because this is what's going to come up very soon. Right? So there, but then when the Lord's not there, then he's not there. So that reminds you that he's not there. So then that's, it gives that element of separation. Before, it's that you technically, on one level, not separated because he's still there. Just you haven't gone to see, or it hasn't been arranged. Does this make sense? So you're getting these subtleties, because the point is you're dealing with the Lord always, he is eternally present, but at the same time there's the sense of separation. Like that. Yes?
Is it correct to go to some place of pilgrimage without having the perfect vision of the deity if we are staying in some holy place, like Mayapur?
If we're in Mayapur, but when you say go to a pilgrimage?
To some other place.
To some other place.
When you are engaged in devotional service.
It means if we're fully engaged here, there's technically no need to go somewhere else. But if some opportunity comes up where you're traveling, and then while you're there, visit these other places, why not?
Because it is said that Narottam Das Thakur was mentioning that in the...
Yeah, it's difficult. So if you have service, then you know the difficulty goes along with it. But if it's a matter I'm going to go out on pilgrimage and that will get me the benefit, the point is it's so much more difficult. Yes. Yeah, so then you maybe you'll be able to see the Lord, maybe you'll be distracted by the difficulties. So then better to just stay in Vrindavan and Mayapur. That's his point. But if there's opportunity to go see other places, why not? You know, one will get purified, definitely. But one is also purified here. So it's just that we don't necessarily notice it. You know, you go back to the West, you notice it, but if you haven't gone back to the West, sometimes you don't notice it. Yeah? Vidura continued, despite his being the Lord and being always willing to relieve the distress of sufferers, he, Krishna, refrained from killing the Kurus. Although they committed all sorts of sins, and although he saw other kings constantly agitating the earth by their strong military movements, carried out under the dictation of three kinds of false pride. 43. Srila Prabhupada, in his purport to verse 33, explains how Krishna acted for the removal of the unwanted rulers. He did not chastise the insulting party immediately. This silence of the Lord did not mean, however, that he excused the offenses of the Kurus, right? Because you could think he's letting it go. So it's not that he's excusing them. It's simply that he, yes, was coming up. There are many other kings on earth who had become very proud of three kinds of possessions: wealth, education, and followers, right? Because to be a great king, you have to have knowledge. You have to have you know, that kind of education. It's not going to just happen just because you want to, or you got a bigger sword than everybody else or something. It's not quite going to work like that. And they were constantly agitating the earth by movements of military strength. The Lord was just waiting to get them together on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and kill them all at one time, just to make a shortcut in his killing mission. Right? So he was tolerant, because then it'll all go on and it'll all happen at once. Because as we mentioned before, is if it happens one at a time, then we'll remember that Krishna killed all the kings. But if they all get killed at once in 18 days, that we're, you know, really going to be talking about, you know, the details and everything like that. So it's something there, because there must be the aspect of attraction. Right, the idea is that the Lord performs his pastime so that people become attracted like that. So then this is something special. So the battle of Kurukshetra and the battle with Ravana, now these are something special. Right? These are powerful. We remember these battles. Other battles we may or may not remember.
It's like Tetris. You get this one long thing and all the lines in one go, they disappear.
They disappear, yes. So, yes.
Remember.
Yes. So, that's, so you can remember the Lord when you, yes, when that happens. Yes.
I don't play Tetris.
You don't play Tetris. Okay. Godless kings or heads of state, when puffed up by advancement of material wealth, education, and increase of population, always make a show of military strength and give trouble to the innocent. So he's saying they always do, because if you're not God conscious, what will keep it in line? What will control it? That's the whole thing, because only God consciousness can actually control things. This idea that no, people are basically good, so basically they're going to do the right thing. Then, you know, it's a nice idea, nice concept. Means the soul, yes, is naturally this way. But it's only when the soul is acting as the soul that you'll get this benefit. Otherwise, then you'll end up with them acting under the modes of nature. Does that make sense? Yes.
Can we say, for example, there are people who might follow Dharma without being God conscious?
Yes.
For their own benefit.
Yes, but at the same time as... How complete is it?
Yes, because it's very rare you hear of somebody who has that kind of material view and is very stable. It's rare you hear about this. Someone like Yayati or like this. You know, but even he was proud when asked by Indra, has anybody done, you know, greater austerities than you? And his point was, no, I'm the greatest. Like that, you know. He didn't end up with Parkinson's, but, you know, he was still, it didn't work out for him. Right? You know, Indra just immediately sent him back to Earth. Because even though they're there and they're all proud, they can't be proud that they're better than anybody else. Right? You know, they're proud of their being religious, but they can't say that my religion is better than yours. You know, so then, is that, yeah.
The Lord encouraged them in this, and thus they became more and more bewildered. Right? So he just encouraged them, so they became more and more like this, so then they would commit themselves to the battle of Kurukshetra, and then you would remove all the problem. Right? So they would just develop all these big, nice armies. They would be fully confident. They'd go there with their complete armies. They would go there themselves. And then, you know, everything would be removed at once. Yes. Yes, it's kind of, in other words, he didn't at that time do anything, so therefore through material energy they're naturally encouraged, because that's what Maya does. But it says you get some wealth, yeah, how you say? Wealth, education, and followers, then immediately you become puffed up. Like that. That's just automatic. Like that. So the devotee, then he can deal with these things and not have that happen. Like Yudhishthira. Like that. But otherwise, the materialist, he'll always get puffed up. You know, it's a common thing. The guy's there, he's the underdog, nothing's happening. But as soon as he somehow or another comes on the top of the pile, he's as bad or worse than the guys before him, that he felt that he was the underdog. You know, so that's just the way it works. Like that. You know, so it's rare that someone has all that and is a nice person. You know, you hear about it in storybooks, like that.
Generally, you see the reverse. If they're well off, they're not a nice person. If they're doing horribly,
they become a better person. Yeah. So it's rare to find someone who can do all the way through. So there's the ideal that that's what's there, but that ideal can only really be found in the devotee. Like that. Because even you say, no, but there's been people in history that's like that. Where is that person now? So it's just a combination of the modes that came up, and then the next life is gone. Now, is that so? Because if it was such a thing, you'd see this string of fabulous persons that you'd go, well, there's this, and then they died here, and then again here, and then they died here, and it's just a straight chain. You'd just see there's this fabulous soul that's just going through history. But we don't. You know, somebody a little bit nice here, and some hundreds of years later in another place, there's another kind of nice person, and you know what I'm saying? It's just, yeah, it's like that. So over thousands of years, and you have something to talk about, right? But if you took the contemporary, it's like, you know, how much do you get?
Finally, Vidura expresses his last question in this chapter. The appearance of the Lord is manifest for the annihilation of the upstarts. His activities are transcendental and are enacted for the understanding of all persons. Otherwise, since the Lord is transcendental to all material modes, what purpose could he serve by coming to earth? 44. Then Vidura concludes his questions with a request for Uddhava to chant the glories of the Lord. O my friend, please therefore chant the glories of the Lord, who is meant to be glorified in the places of pilgrimage. He is unborn, and yet he appears by his causeless mercy upon the surrendered rulers of all parts of the universe. Only for their interest did he appear in the family of his unalloyed devotees, the Yadus. 45. According to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Vidura said, Please speak about the birth and activities of the Lord, who is full of knowledge and bliss. Speak the pastimes of the Lord, who is famous as a holy place, and which can purify everyone and deliver them from samsara. For the benefit of those kings surrendered to the Lord, and for others who follow his orders. I have bathed in almost all the holy places. Now bathe me in the nectar of a famous place called Krishna, which will make all other holy places successful. So that's the whole. No matter whatever you've done, when it comes to Krishna, that's when then it becomes perfect. That's the thing that has to be there. If we think that, no, my material arrangement, everything will be perfect, then we are going to be distracted. But if we understand that it's no, it's just when it is connection to Krishna, that's what makes it perfect. Then we'll get some real benefit. Otherwise, then we won't. Somebody says, we can't have, there is nothing material that we're going to get any benefit from. It doesn't matter what it is, where it is, how nice it is. We're still not going to get any benefit because it is connected to what? Not the soul. It may be nice for our conditioning, but the conditioning's not us, and the conditioning's temporary. Therefore, this situation is temporary. So ultimately, only that which is connected to the Lord. Therefore, whatever one's doing, if one can find that connection, then it becomes good. But if one doesn't find the connection, you know, saying it's practical isn't enough. It's practical for what? Being in the material world. Yes. That's yes.
I think yesterday afternoon you mentioned something about purification of the heart.
Yes.
Is finding the connection in things towards Krishna part of the purification of the heart, or is it more about introspecting on things and realizing?
Yes. And the other half that you mentioned.
So realizing that it shouldn't be done, blah, blah.
Yes, the whole idea is that the heart is purified by the engagement in devotional service. So that means the practical application and the contemplation. So both. So that's the meaning of manana. We hear, like we're sitting here, we hear. Then we're going to contemplate and apply that. That's manana. From that we'll get realization. When we get realization, then that will be the natural way we'll behave. Right? Because in the beginning, we're behaving in a certain way due to our conditioning or due to we've heard, okay, this is what you should do. But it comes to the point where this is what I want to do because we understand it's better. So Vidura is not saying this, that he wants to hear about the Lord, simply because, he's heard it's good. He actually has realized that it's good. So he's basically bathed in every holy place there is. But he understands that the real sacred bath is bathing in the Lord's, you know, the nectar of hearing about the Lord's name, form, qualities, and pastimes. That will then make all the other bathings successful. Right? Because all that is just a platform that we become purified. But being purified, being freed from material contamination isn't enough. We want to actually become attached to the Lord. That's the real purity. Does that make sense? So that's why the residents of Vrindavan then is pure unalloyed devotional service, because their attachment is the greatest. That's what puts them on that platform. Right? Otherwise, everybody in the spiritual world is free from all material contamination. Right? But their attachment to the Lord then is greater and greater as the realms increase. Does that make sense? So it's both. It's both the application, the understanding, the application, the contemplation, the realization. It's all one package.
So that's all purification is. Is there any more?
Means you have the purification as that it is the removal of the mundane, right? But you have the purification where we become, by the Lord's grace, attracted to Him. Does that make sense? So you have both aspects. Because what you want is to be attracted to the Lord.
the heart as impure, that's hard. Does that make sense?
Parishishtam. References from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhagavat Arkamarichi Mala. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigned Srimad Bhagavatam 3.1.19 to Bhagavat Arkamarichi Mala, chapter 15, entitled Analysis of Favorable Conditions for Bhakti, Bhakti Anukul Vichar, which is within the Abhideya section of the Thakur's book. Right? So the idea is that within the Dasamul, then an Abhideya in application of, you know, in other words, you've applied the elements that you've heard of in Sambandha to practically apply them in your life as Abhideya. So this is then, he's taken that this chapter is for what is favorable for devotional service. Right? In other words, I'm going to perform devotional service, so part of that is what's favorable. Right? Rejecting what's unfavorable, accepting what's favorable. So this is the verse. So, while so traversing the earth, he simply performed duties to please the Supreme Lord Hari. His occupation was pure and independent. He was constantly sanctified by his taking bath in holy places, although he was in the dress of a mendicant and had no hair dressing nor a bed on which to lie. Thus he was always unseen by his various relatives. Right? So in other words, that whatever you're doing, if you're always doing it to simply please the Supreme Lord, right? And one keeps himself in a pure and independent position, right? Then that's going to be favorable. And it's not that everybody's got to know about it, right? So his relatives didn't know. Why? Because he wasn't going there and, oh, hey, the Vidura has come and this and that. No. It's just that he's going about and just involved in devotional service, and because of that, he was unknown. Like that. So that's the way to perform devotional service. That's favorable. That's the favorable thing. Okay. Yeah, then you have the questions, review questions, essay questions. Okay, chapter 2, Remembrance of Lord Krishna. Pratigya. Uddhava becomes ecstatic upon remembering the Lord. The pratigya of this chapter is expressed in two verses, Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.1 and 4. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, when the great devotee Uddhava was asked by Vidura to speak on the messages of the dearest Lord Krishna, Uddhava was unable to answer immediately due to excessive anxiety at the remembrance of the Lord. For a moment he remained dead silent, and his body did not move. He became absorbed in the nectar of remembering the Lord's lotus feet in devotional ecstasy, and he appeared to be going increasingly deeper into that ecstasy. Vritti, philosophical elaboration on the pratigya. Srila Prabhupada in his purport to verse 4 describes how Uddhava became ecstatic by becoming wrapped in thoughts of Krishna. On the inquiry by Vidura about Krishna, Uddhava appeared to be awakened from slumber. He appeared to regret that he had forgotten the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus, he again remembered the lotus feet of the Lord and remembered all his transcendental loving service unto him. And by so doing, he felt the same ecstasy that he used to feel in the presence of the Lord. Because the Lord is absolute, there is no difference between his remembrance and his personal presence. Thus, Uddhava remained completely silent for a moment, but then he appeared to be going deeper and deeper into ecstasy. Feelings of ecstasy are displayed by highly advanced devotees of the Lord. Footnote 9. From the nectar devotion, we understand how the symptoms of ecstasy arise. There are two paths to develop these astasattvika bhavas. One, by vaidhi sadhana bhakti, or two, through kripa siddha. Both in the association with great devotees. Waves of Devotion, chapter 28, entitled Existential Ecstatic Love, defines sattvika bhava as an unpremeditated, involuntary expression arising directly from the spiritually supercharged consciousness. Right? We also, as was discussed before, is that when there's the element, when the life airs get involved, right? Because the anubhava basically means the reaction, physical reaction, but it's more just the mind. Right? the mind and then the physical reaction from that, hair standing on end like this. But then when the life airs get involved, then it becomes physically more strong. So that makes a difference between the sattvika bhavas and the anubhavas. And then the sanchari are on the mental platform. It'll have a physical effect because the body is always affected by what the mind does, but they're transitory. The other ones may remain, but these keep changing. Does that make sense? So they're not just standing on their own, right? They may be similar ones like you'll see in the anubhava or sattvika bhava, but it's that they're part of the transitory symptoms that are there in the others. You're here for the class or you're here for the parents? And no, a person behind you? Meeting with the parents. You want to meet the parents. Okay, you have to go upstairs. It's in the temple, yes. Okay? Yes. Unless he wants to stay for a lie detector test or something. I mean, he's free to stay. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. Someone comes, sits here, thinks that was the teach parents meeting. Oh, nice. Yeah. Philosophical discussion. Yeah, okay.
You're explaining the ecstasies the boys experience.
Yes. Yeah, yes. Yes. Hair standing on end when they see the paneer sabji. Like that. They become, their voice chokes up when the guy gives them an extra spoon.
Or,
yes, faltering of the voice. They become stunned when they eat too much at once and they can't breathe. Right? You know, so like that. So all the different bhavas are there, yes. What the life airs do in ecstasy means are they doing the Charleston? Or what do you mean? They're moving. Life airs move, so they move. The life airs are, means the breathing, they control the physical more rather than just there's a mental thing. You go, just like you go, like that. That will be in anubhava or sanchari bhava. But when it has a stronger, the physical movements of the life airs in the body, then you get the stunning and you know, all these fainting and all these other things. Like that, it's just stronger. So that's why technically they can all be called, the anubhava, sattvika bhava, and sanchari can all be called anubhava. It just means the reactions from the relationship between the vibhava of the ashraya and vishaya. So the remembrance of the Lord, the interaction of the Lord, it will get these, it will get reaction. But it's just that they come in these three different forms. You know, does that make sense? Main mental form, main mental with the physical. That then there's with the stronger physical, and then there's the transitory emotional physical. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Okay. There are eight kinds of transitional changes in the body: tears, shivering of the body, perspiration, restlessness, throbbing, choking of the throat, etc. And all were manifested by Uddhava in the presence of Vidura. The following commentary from Pritisandarbha, Anucheda 215, sheds light on the reaction of Uddhava to Vidura's inquiry. So 215 means, because the Anucheda, as we described, is a complete logical statement in that there's a, what do you call it? What's the opening called? Your thesis. Yeah, your thesis. In other words, there's a point to be made. So that means already here's 215. So there's bigger than this. So that means he's making all these philosophical points and then proving them, and then putting those together in a logical sequence. So that's what's, yeah. Okay. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam 3:27. My dear Uddhava, the son of the world, Lord Krishna, has set, and our house has now been swallowed by the great snake of time. What can I say to you about our welfare? The universe, with all its planets, is most unfortunate. In these words, Uddhava laments his separation from Lord Krishna. However, after feeling distress in separation from Lord Krishna, Uddhava receives Lord Krishna's direct presence and becomes joyful. It was as if Lord Krishna directly came before him. This is described in these words of Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.4. This verse was spoken by Srila Sukadeva Goswami. For a moment, he remained dead silent, and his body did not move. He became absorbed in the nectar of remembering the Lord's lotus feet in devotional ecstasy, and he appeared to be going increasingly deeper into that ecstasy. Right? So that increasingly deeper means increasingly deeper in remembrance of the Lord. Right? And that, in other words, he was experiencing the physical the physical presence of the Lord. That's the thing. It's by remembering the Lord is there. It's non-different. Is that... Chapter 2 summarizes questions and answers. The answer to question 44 from the previous chapter begins in this chapter, question 44. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.1.26. Please tell me whether the original personality of Godhead, who incarnated themselves at the request of Brahma, who is born out of the lotus flower from the Lord, and who have increased the prosperity of the world by elevating everyone, are doing well in the house of Surasena. The answer begins at verse 7, where Uddhava sorrowfully admits the Krishna's son. Yeah, the Krishna's son has set. So he's asked the question in the last chapter, so in this chapter there's no further question. Now this is the answer from that question. Right, because so the question is about Krishna, and then naturally Krishna means his associates. Therefore, all the others are not counted as separate questions, as it was mentioned in the last summary of the questions. Right, so it means when he's asking about Krishna and Balaram, and asking about Ugrasena and Prajumna and everybody else, that's all counted within this question. So this is the question, because the Lord means the Lord and his devotees. Right? This will come up also in this discussion. Adhyaya Prakashika. In the second chapter, Uddhava, his face washed in tears because of disturbance due to prema, describes the pastimes of Krishna in Braja until the rasa dance. Uddhava, fainting because of increased prema and separation from Krishna, speaks without being able to reply to the questions of Vidura. By this he shows his condition. He begins to remember the Lord when his fainting was broken by the loud questions of Vidura. Vidura's questions made Uddhava ecstatic. Since his childhood he had been a great devotee of the Lord. Uddhava feelingly offers Vidura a brief mention of the disappearance of the Lord and the Yadu dynasty from this earth. Then he speaks of Krishna's glorious appearance. In the mood of separation, Uddhava recounts the Lord's inconceivable activities while on earth, including his birth and ending with his lifting Govardhan Hill and his dancing with the gopis of Braja. Right? So when you're dealing with Krishna, then there's all these nice things that he does, because they see us all as Krishna. So Krishna in Braja, they also see it's Krishna. It's the same Krishna. It's just the mood is different. Right, so that mood of Krishna in Braj never leaves Braj. You don't see that mood in Dwarka. Why? Because the ashrayas in Dwarka don't draw that out. Does that make sense? So it's different, right? So even there is even you see is that the primary gopis have appeared as the queens in Dwarka, but now it's Swakya, and their wives. So the mood's going to be different. It's going to be a different flavor. Does that make sense? Yeah. And yes.
When Uddhava speaks about Krishna's lifting Govardhan, his dancing with the gopis, is this Uddhava later? Or is this
what he's going to speak? No, this is what he's speaking now. Yeah.
So it's proof. It's not like hands can't do that.
No. Because Uddhava Gita is later when Krishna speaks to Uddhava. Like that. So that will get into a lot of philosophical points and all that. It's basically like, you could say, it would be like the knowledge given in Gita, but now on a deeper level, a more advanced level. You know, it's just like in the Gita, you have the preliminaries of what's required to appreciate the Lord. Then you have the middle six chapters about the Lord.
then the end chapter is about the technical points of that applying that in your life, you know, that process is then the Lord, right? And then ending with that Sarva Dharma like this. So then the Bhagavatam is the same. You have this first nine cantos is the process, how you can come to it. Then the 10th canto, it's about the Lord. Then the 11th is about then those concluding of those finer philosophical points, how to apply that. You know, so it's just, it's the same kind of thing. So the Uddhava Gita, the Bhagavad Gita, and the Kapila's instructions, those are, which we'll come across here also, in this canto. Then these are the three Gitas, right? So they all go together like that. So we studied one. Now in this year we'll study the second one. Then after a few years we'll study the third one. Then you'll have a good view of the Gita, right? Okay. Yes. Okay, so the point is they because it's all Krishna, then there's not a problem in that it's different pastimes, different realms, right? So this idea is that, oh, we're only interested in Radha and Krishna and the gopis, so we don't listen to any other pastimes. Anybody who's saying that, they're the only devotees in the cosmos who think like that. Because all the other devotees everywhere else in the universe, they don't have a problem hearing all the different pastimes here and there. Yeah, so it's just rasa is rasa, so they're appreciating the transcendental rasa. Shloka Anusharana, summary of verses. Verses 1 to 6, Vidura's questions make Uddhava ecstatic. Verses 7 through 13, Uddhava starts speaking. Verses 14 to 24, Uddhava recounts the Lord's inconceivable activities while on this earth. Verses 25 to 34, remembering Krishna in Vrindavan. Verses 1 to 6, Vidura's questions make Uddhava ecstatic. Verses 1 to 6 describe Uddhava's ecstasy in remembering the Lord. Vidura's questions about Krishna and his association tip Uddhava into an ocean of ecstatic longing. Quote, when asked by Vidura to speak on the messages of the dearest, Lord Krishna, Uddhava was unable to answer immediately due to excessive anxiety at the remembrance of the Lord. He was one who, even in his childhood, at the age of 5 years, was so absorbed in the service of Lord Krishna that when he was called by his mother for morning breakfast, he did not wish to have it. Verses 1 to 2. Srila Prabhupada describes Uddhava as a Nityasiddha devotee in his purport to verse 2. From natural instinct, he used to serve Lord Krishna, even in his childhood. He used to play with dolls in the form of Krishna. He would serve the dolls by dressing, feeding, and worshipping them. And thus he was constantly absorbed in the play of transcendental realizations. These are the signs of an eternally liberated soul. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds, playing as a boy of 5 years, he worshipped a five-year-old form of Krishna using articles of worship he had made. Right? So you just put together things as you're going. In his purport to verse 2, Srila Prabhupada relates how this natural instinct of pure devotees from birth sets a standard to train neophyte devotees to serve the Lord. The Pancharatriki formula for training persons in devotional service is temple worship, whereby the neophytes get the opportunity to learn devotional service to the Lord. Maharaj Parikit also used to play with Krishna dolls in his childhood. In India, the children in good families are still given dolls of the Lord like Rama and Krishna, or sometimes the demigods, so that they may develop the aptitude of service to the Lord. By the grace of the Lord, we were given the same opportunity by our parents, and the beginning of our life was based on this principle. Right? So for kids, they want to do something with somebody who is outstanding, right? So if it's the Lord, then they're quite happy. But the Lord and the different activities and killing of the demons and, you know, all the different things like that. So it's not a problem, you know. If not, then you have to, you know, Superman, Batman, all this kind of jazz. What to do.
Yes.
So Prabhupada's saying is that in the cultured families, you know, means those who are connected to devotional service, then this is how they train their children. And so then it works out very nicely.
In the mood of separation, Uddhava achieves association with the Lord by the samadhi of remembering past devotional service and Krishna's loving reciprocation. Uddhava gradually returns to external consciousness, regains his composure, and then, in a pleasing mood, begins to his reply, 3-6. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purports to verses 3-4-6 expand on the flavor of Uddhava's remembrance. Verse 4 describes the symptoms of Uddhava's bliss. Pulakod bhinna sarvangaha means that his whole body was filled with sprouting hairs, like sprouts of trees or shrubs. He also became stunned. Tears flowed from his closed eyes. Vidura understood that Uddhava had become successful because he had attained prema, as indicated by his symptoms, and because of that prema, he was absorbed completely in melting of his heart, sneha, for the Lord. First he was absorbed in prema, and then he was absorbed in sneha, the next stage of pure love. Verse 5 describes Uddhava's remembrance of Krishna. Right? See, there's a lot more going on here than we're, you know, we just think, okay, he went into ecstasy. But here is even Vidura can understand the stages of love of God that he's going through just by the extent, the symptoms.
Sometimes we can philosophically discern approximately where someone is.
Basically, you can, but still, you can't.
It seems like when you reach close to like Baba, you can't really.
That's why it says that you can't. Means on that platform you can discern. If not, you can't. So you can basically tell those who are equal and junior.
Yeah.
You can get an idea that they're above you. You know, are really above you, like that. But in real detail, you can't. But like, say someone equal to junior, you can get right into detail where they're at, and you know, like that. You know, yeah. So you can tell the neophytes. Yeah, I used to think that about the bucket of hollow before too. You know, like that, you know, like that. You just leave the bucket there. But if you had real prema, then you would put the bucket away. Yeah, you know, like that. Yeah. You know, so you can tell these things.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Takes one to know.
But philosophically, you can have some understanding. That's why it's being explained. But it's being explained, one, so we appreciate these levels are there. But two, we appreciate that it's something that can be attained, or something that desires, something to look for, forward to. You know, that we see it as something good. Because otherwise, we're just used to what happens here. And we're just looking at, you know, if I would be happy like somebody's happy here. But you see that there's this happiness beyond that. You know, that's sustainable, like that. Well, happiness here, that's pretty hard one to try to make work all the time, yeah.
Not for lack of trying.
Yeah, not for lack of trying, yes. Not like that. So, you know, the effort is good, but it's just the results are very meager, right? Yeah. Verse 5 describes Uddhava's remembrance of Krishna. When he recovered from fainting by the questions of Vidura, Uddhava explained, "Oh, I have been separated from my master." Well, meaning by master, meaning he's the master of both of them there, so the dual master. He remained silent for 48 minutes, muhurtam, because of relishing the nectar of Krishna's beauty obtained by meeting the Lord directly through remembrance of his lotus feet. Okay. Therefore, Vidura is, you know, sitting and appreciating. He became submerged in the sweetness of prema, bhakti yogena, which appeared when the pain of separation from Krishna increased, tivrena. This made him forget his previous pain, sadhu, peaceful. He remained in a blissful state. He remained in this blissful state. From the world of the Lord, from Dwarka filled with eternal pastimes, attained by his immense prema, he returned to external consciousness again, attracted by the questions of Vidura. Because it's that these absorption is very nice, but how did that absorption come about? By the questions of Vidura, by the association of devotees. So it's not about just absorbing stuff there, is that association is really where that sweetness is. So you can appreciate the Lord by the association of devotees. That's what really makes it nice. Therefore, he's attracted to Vidura's questions. Right. So even though he's tasting all this ecstatic element, then that question comes up because the Lord needs his associates.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Purest questions are udita.
Yes, so they would be, yes, to remember the Lord, because they bring out different qualities of the Lord and his devotees and associates, pastimes, so all these things. Because when you say a name like Ugrasena, there's Krishna's interaction with Ugrasena that Uddhava is there to take part in. You know, then he mentions all the other personalities. So he's part of that whole scene. So even one name of one devotee means all those pastimes. Yeah. So it's just like churning, you know, so then so much nectar is coming. Yes.
So that's why he meant that we do attention without so many clothes associated by names, or to help Uddhava, or to...
No, it's just, it's just a matter of, these are the interesting topic. The Lord and his devotees. So Vidura is interested, he brings it up. This brings about a static responses from Uddhava. Yeah. So it's the same. It's not technically brought about. We're dealing on devotees on the spontaneous platform. So it's not that they have to think about this. You know what I'm saying? Because we mentioned Raganuga means that it's without the intellectual support, one is attractive and absorbed. Yes, it means they're all on this platform, this spontaneous platform. You know, it's not the spontaneous love of Braj, but it's spontaneous love. The second time his trance was broken, he became amazed by remembering the skill with which Krishna performed acts such as relieving the world of its burden. Or he burst into a smile by the soothing advice given by the Lord, who had said, "O Uddhava, please return to answer the questions of Vidura." So then Krishna is telling him, you know, you go back, you know, Vidura is sitting there, answer his questions. Srila Prabhupada, in his purport to verse 6, describes the position of a pure devotee. When Uddhava was fully absorbed in the transcendental ecstasy of love of God, he actually forgot all about the external world. The pure devotee lives constantly in the abode of the Supreme Lord, even in the present body, which apparently belongs to this world. The pure devotee is not exactly on the bodily plane, since he is absorbed in the transcendental thought of the Supreme. Footnote 10. Srila Prabhupada was asked by a reporter how he felt in this foreign country. He replied, "It is all Krishna's place, so I feel at home." It all belongs to Krishna, so then, you know, there's not a problem with that. So, yeah. So the devotee, even though he's here, is absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, so he's always with Krishna. So it's not a problem. So he's always in the Lord's abode, because the Lord, his pastimes, his devotees and all that. Does that make sense? So this is what's coming up, is the point to be brought out. It means it's all being brought out here, but then Uddhava is specifically going to mention it. Because otherwise, whereas all those beginning aspects and later aspects in the Gita of devotional technique, those are important. Because why? They take the situation that we are absorbed in and connect it to the Lord. Right? But ultimately, then Krishna makes the point, it's not about that. It's not that, yes, I'm in this situation, I'm connecting everything to the Lord. He's saying it's not that. Why? It means this has a nature, I'm seeing that nature, I'm connecting that to the Lord. You know, there's my nature, I'm connecting that to the Lord. It's not about that. It's not about, it's about Krishna as a person. Right? So then there's that position beyond this. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's, then that means one is absorbed in Krishna and his devotees, therefore in his abode. So that's another level. It's just the next, it's a natural next step, but what we're just saying is that It's not just, okay, because otherwise then what are we going to do? Why bring this point out? I have my house, I've thought about it, I've connected all the different aspects to Krishna, so I'm good. You know, I'm already perfected. But the point is, but then beyond that, more perfect is, it's about Krishna as a person. How is the house being used, pleases Krishna as a person? Rather than just, I've taken my attachments and my perspectives and, you know, found proper connections to the Lord. You know, we're not talking about lip service here. We're talking about, you know, someone's done this. But then you're starting from yourself and connecting to the Lord rather than starting with the Lord and then coming back into.
Is it that it also becomes mundane because now I have connected it to the Lord as a...
No, not necessarily, but it's not as developed as... It means if one's proud of that, then there can be... You have to just see. These are all fine points. But the element is that we're... There's the element of the person beyond all this. That's the point of the Sarva Dharma and Parityaja. It means he as a person is beyond all this Dharma. He is Dharma. That's why everything works the way it is. But is it about that he is Dharma, or is it about he's the person who Dharma comes from? So in other words, he acts in that way. Being Dharma, he always acts according to Dharma. Right? But the difference is that the difference is that that's just the how he acts, and that's the situation. Right? Does that make sense? So there's the situation of sweetness, there's the activities being performed. Right? So the jnana and kriya. What's the real important element? The icha. His desire, that exchange of loving relationship. That's the real point. Does that make sense? But because we haven't come to that platform of prema, you know, in other words, we're on the you know, how you say, path of, you know, how you say, mundane, you know, ragatmika, raganuga,
yes,
right?
Yes,
after
yes.
The great ragatmikas in the mundane line. So we're hoping to come to that pure absorption in mundane,
yes.
You know. But, you know, somehow or another, we never quite get there, you know. So then it's a matter of, but we're doing that through trying to be happy through the externals. So what's the first thing we do? Take all the externals, connect them to Krishna, right? The externals are making us forget Krishna. We connect them to Krishna, they no longer make them forget Krishna. Always remember Krishna, never forget Him. How do we never forget? The things that are making us forget, connect to Krishna. Then we don't forget, right? But then it's got to come to the point of always remembering Krishna, right? So the aspect of Him as the person to try to be absorbed, right? So it's not about the situations and activities, right? It's about the feelings of exchange. Now those are being expressed through the situations and activities. But it's not about that. Those are only to express the feelings. Right? And so those who are on that highest platform of feelings, they have the highest forms of, you know, place and activities. Right? But as, so that Braj is the best place, it's not about Braj being the best place. It's about that the affection for Krishna. And then, because of that, then that service rendered by Vrindavan, right, then that is appreciated by the devotees. So it's not about the facilities that, yeah, I love to be in this place. It's about that this belongs, is all for Krishna. So that's what they want to be involved in. Right? They want to be involved in Vrindavan because Vrindavan is doing everything for Krishna. That's why. Does that make sense? So that's why Uddhava is coming back. One is that he's attracted by these questions. And two, Holmes is walking off. I guess it's just part of what happens. Oh, there's someone else there. Okay.
Holmes?
Holmes, yes. Look at that. Okay. Yes.
Can we say that ultimately remembering is the only way of not forgetting? When it really comes down to it.
Yes, because then you're always absorbed in the Lord, so you wouldn't be connected with anything that's not. So that's what he's saying, is here the devotees are always, they actually live in the abode of the Lord. So it's not separate. Does that make sense? It's not separate. So because they're always there, therefore everything always works out, that they're always connected to the Lord. So that's the position. Right, so here he's saying he's even in the present body, which appears to belong to this world, right? Because it's made of the elements of this world, so it appears to belong here, and it responds the way things of this world do. But it's not really of this world because it's not being engaged in activities of this world. That's the whole thing. Does that make sense? Yes. Yes.
Emotions aren't so good when it's just for someone else.
Emotions aren't good when they're just for someone else. Depends on who the someone else is.
Well, that's for a devotee.
Yes, then, but which aspect of the devotee?
Well, just caring.
Yeah, but what aspect of caring for the devotee? Huh? I'm just going on the I'm just taking that this is a continuation of your previous question.
It's all connected.
Yes, yes. So therefore, the bodily connection between yourself and your son, and therefore the mother-child relationship, then you're taking care, but because they're a devotee, therefore there's a devotional benefit, but the inspiration, you know, at least in the beginning, is because of the material attachments and sentiments and everything that are there.
I got told to not be emotional. I was caring. So somehow I want to know how...
And you want to know if you can be emotional towards your kids.
No, I want to have feelings for Krishna, but not think that it's... emotion is for... child is not a negative, it's Krishna conscious.
But why is it Krishna conscious?
Because he's connected to Krishna.
Yes, but you have to make sure that you're connecting to Krishna. See, when you're dealing with the indirect,
yes,
it only has connection when you connect it.
Yes.
See, what Prabhupada's mentioning here is that it's all Krishna's place, so I feel at home.
Yes.
Because he's always making that connection.
Yes.
Now, if you make that connection at one moment, but you can't think that it's functioning now. Let's say 3 weeks ago, then you were, you know, that feeling of that it's all there and connected to Krishna, and they're all devotees to Krishna, and it was a very nice understanding. But you can't claim 3 weeks later that that's what you're thinking when you're just, you know, dealing other than that with the indirect. So as you make the connection, that is made. Because the point is why this kid? There's so many kids here.
Yes.
There's tons of them. Why this one? It's because of the mundane connection. But you can connect that to Krishna. Then you get purified by it. But it's not automatic. It's not, I'm a devotee, they're a devotee, so automatically is that. No. The point is when you're on the when you're beyond the bodily platform, then yes, that's what happens. But when you're on the bodily platform, you have to keep making that. That's why indirect it's more difficult. That's why I said Vidura was independent because he didn't have to do that. Right? He didn't have to work all that out with everybody. He just had to look at everything from that platform of just serving Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay.
If a person can't distinguish the primary and the secondary and takes not forgetting Krishna as enough,
yes,
and just leaves it at that, what is the goal of such a person? They're going to go to another situation that they can also do that for, like a heavenly planet, or is it enough for what they think?
It depends. Means the point is if you're talking about the longer term, means at the time of death, if they remember Krishna, because it's all for Krishna, then they'll go to Gokul. But then the point is they're only going to start from their level of realization. It's not like this: I'm walking down the street, suddenly a thunderbolt hits me, and then I'm this greatly realized soul, or I went to sleep at night, you know, grumpy and totally mundane, I wake up in the morning a pure devotee. There's not that kind of magic, you know, that there's this ignorance of magic, I don't know how, it's by the grace of the Lord. So since our consciousness is at that place, that's where it will continue from in the Lord's pastimes. So then it's a matter of, are you going to get distracted by, you know, I mean, Vrindavan's all about serving Krishna. So you're taking care of your house, you're making cow dung patties, you're cooking for the various associates of the Lord. But, you know, but the thing is it about that or it's about the Lord himself? So if it's about that, then you get stuck there.
That's the situation you referred to previously. You can yes. take many births.
Yes, you can get stuck means, yeah. So the point is that, well, it's not as much that as if you're proud that I'm advanced or I'm done, then you can get stuck for many births. But the position of, because in other words, you're not learning. So it means you can appear in Gokul many times until you come to prema. But this normal, the standard is you do it in one lifetime. They're just pointing that out so that your one is careful. Right? You can't take it for granted. So you're going to start from that platform because there, you know, how much absorption in Krishna is there? It's about the indirect. Right? And so therefore then, and what's your service to Krishna? So it's more just you're there in Braj, the situation. So the Kriya Shakti isn't even that strong. There's some element of the Jnana Shakti, the Kriya Shakti is not. So it has to increase. But then when you start being interested in Krishna, right, then you start remembering and things pick up. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, I've connected the house to Krishna. Okay, then is it because he's a person and how he likes to do it, or just because he's God and I should connect everything to the Lord? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's going to make a distinction. Now, but the point is one shouldn't get disheartened, because any connection to Krishna is good. All we're pointing out is that there's farther, just like we're saying the residents. If you're living in the spiritual world, that's good. We glorify anybody in the spirit. But within that, then Goloka will be more deep than Vaikuntha. And then then Braj is more deep than that. And then within Braj, then you have the gopis. Within the gopis, then Radharani's group. And within that, then Radharani herself. You know, so there's these levels. Right? So the point is if you're connecting it to Krishna, that's glorious. But there's more. Like that. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, because there's no such thing as being static. It's always dynamic. Okay. Yes?
I wanted to ask, because Krishna
A little louder?
Yeah. When we think of Krishna and the end of our life, we go to Gokula, and we start from the same level, but isn't it when we see Krishna and his associates, people say you get, you become pure when you get
Gokula? Means, the point is, but you have to value that. Means that means because we're sadhakas and that's our direction, that's generally what we'll do. Right? But why is being brought out to be serious about it? Because otherwise, then what's the result of this? I can sit back a bit here because it's when I get there, then I'll see the associates, then it'll get serious. So I don't really have to be serious here. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the point is no, you want to get serious. The point is to be serious here. But we don't remove parts of our philosophy to make people serious here. You know, that's not our method. It's that you have to know all these things, and therefore.
So what happens course, if you aren't serious here, but you think by some chance of Krishna,
then you go there and you're in the same position you're in here. And then it's a matter of, do you get the association of the eternal associates or not? You have to have that desire to please Krishna to get their association. So if you don't value Vaishnavas here so much, then why would you value them there? You know what I'm saying? You're just into doing your household duties there. That's what you'll do there. Right? The residents of Vrindavan, they all live in houses. Right? You know? That makes sense? So they have houses. They take care of the houses. You know, it's not that they have messy houses. You know, there's not pizza delivery boxes sitting around and stuff like that. You know, it's clean. It's nice. Is that makes sense? Yeah. Yes.
That's fine. So if devotional service is always dynamic, it means that devotees are supposed to have always more and more realization.
Yes.
It means there is no end.
There's no end. So that's why it's unlimited. So what we're talking about here is, you know, what we're talking about is great. It gets better than that.
Yes.
You know? Because at every moment it's increasing and gaining more. Because Krishna is always increasing and his internal potency is always increasing. And so therefore the pastimes are always increasing. All the devotees are therefore, you know, so it's just always getting more and more. And it can do that eternally. So now we are not used to that here, because our idea is something is good and then it'll go bad. Right? You know, so therefore the so-called intellectual who, you know, has that skeptical look, you know, perspective, that's because of how the material world works. So they're, you know, they're quite, to have that perspective is quite valid. Yes, but it's only for here. But then they'll apply it to there. If they, you know, how can there be such a place as that? But the point is no, there is a place like that. So that therefore one has to surrender. One has to give up that negativity. Otherwise, that negativity, you know, its results are basically impersonalism. And because it's impersonal, if there's no real God, then there's nothing can control our sense gratification. So therefore, that's why impersonalism, Buddhism, actually give rise to gross sense gratification. You notice that the more people get into impersonalism and Buddhism, it's becoming more easily accepted in culture, the more they're getting, their sense gratification is getting greater. While before, when there was more the concept of theistic moralism, you know, there was a personal God who was there and seeing everything you do. People were trying to be more careful. Whether they were or not, that's another thing, but they were trying. Yeah. So these things are direct. Like that. Okay. Okay, so end here for today.